You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Do you rely on audio description to enjoy the theatre? Maybe you're starting to use more tech to navigate the streets and paths too. But what if your tech developed a little sass of its own, leading to awkward situations in public? Well, there's a new play coming to London about disability, the benefit system and visual impairment. It stars two visually impaired actors playing two lead VI characters, Georgie Morell and writer of the play herself, Amy Bethan Evans. Both of them join me on the line now to talk about Libby's Eyes. Hi guys, how you doing?
Hiya. Hiya, very well, thanks.
Now Amy, tell us a little bit about Libby's Eyes.
So Libby's Eyes was written as part of Soho Theatre Writers' Lab, and I wanted to explore the themes of defectiveness and robots and disability for a while. But when I went through the PIP system myself, that's when it kind of took on that storyline. And then I decided that it was going to be a defective audio description robot that started having opinions. And I wanted to write a visually impaired character in particular. So that's where it came from, really, and it just developed around that. I figured that if I was going to have a defective robot doing the audio description, I also needed a reliable audio description. Otherwise, I might alienate a visually impaired audience. So I wrote a reliable audio description and decided that they would be an actor. But then I kind of had a lot of fun writing that character, and it became the character that everybody wanted to read.
So no spoilers, Amy, but tell us a little bit about Libby's story in Libby's Eyes.
So Libby is a young visually impaired woman who lives with her parents. The government introduces a policy where they make all disabled people choose whether they want to be functioning or non-functioning people. A functioning person has to work and only gets government-approved aids and no other benefits, or as a non-functioning person, doesn't have to work but also has no human rights. So Libby decides she wants to be a functioning person. She gets a government-issued robot, but it's not what it should be, and hilarity ensues.
Georgie, you play the lead role of Libby. Why is a play like Libby's Eyes important?
I think it's important to show that we can make an accessible, a fully accessible show, or as accessible as possible, without it affecting the, I guess, the artistic vision of the show. It can be part of it, as there does seem to be not enough access theatre at the moment. Also, it's a topical story, really. I mean, I was, as soon as Amy said it's about a visually impaired girl and a robot, I was like, well, that'll do. That sounds hilarious. But then you go a bit deeper, and the system at the moment that a lot of disabled people are up against, it's a sort of satirical discussion about that. And it's present, it's happening now. The benefit system's being cut and changed and putting a lot of people in really bad ways.
Absolutely. I mean, you've said before, but one of the main themes of Libby's Eyes is the benefit system. How does the play deal with grievances that people feel about how those with a disability are treated?
Well, I was really keen to not present Libby's visual impairment as the barrier. I wanted to present the barrier as coming from society, because that's, you know, that is the issue with, you know, stopping the benefits and with the aids that people use. Because at the end of the day, if everybody needed audio description, it would be everywhere. You know, toilets are everywhere because everybody needs them. It was really important to me that Libby is a visually impaired person with her own agency. So that was important. It's almost a dystopia in terms of, obviously, the government have not issued guidelines where disabled people can choose to be functioning or non-functioning people. But to a lot of us, it kind of feels like they may as well have. I'm kind of hoping that the emotional processes that people are going through in the play are relatable, even if what's happening isn't literally happening.
It definitely seems, Amy, that you've got a lot to say about issues surrounding sight loss. Why was this format in the theatre, why was that the best way to reach an audience?
Well, I'm a playwright by trade, and I've done a lot of training there. So in terms of how I could reach an audience, it was definitely the first way I could think of. But I also, well, as Georgie said, with accessible theatre, I think people can often see access as a chore, but it doesn't need to be. It can be really creative and it can be part of the play. And what I really want to do, and what we're working with the director to do, is to level the playing field in the sense that, you know, visually impaired people get an experience and, you know, sighted people get an experience. And there are points where the sighted people also need the audio description because what the audio description is saying isn't actually happening, but it is happening in the play. And because of that, we're captioning it as well so that it's also accessible for deaf and hearing impaired people.
It sounds fantastic. Georgie, Amy's mentioned it before, but this is a really unique form of audio description for visually impaired audience members as well as sighted audience members. What can the average theatre goer expect to get from a night of watching Libby's Eyes?
Firstly, it's really funny. It's a really funny play. It's a good black comedy with a bit of sort of state of the nation. So I think you'll not only get a laugh, but you'll also get to see how audio description can be incorporated into a play and have a sort of comic effect. Which, and I don't know that being done as well. And you also get a story and an insight into having a disability at the moment and what you're up against with the system, which so many people are unaware of because it's not getting the press attention that it needs. And also, as Amy said, Libby is she's got her own agency. She's feisty. She's determined. And sadly, you don't see that in a lot of disabled characters. They tend to come across as a victim, but she wants to take control of this. And I think that's just a breath of fresh air as well. And there's a robot as well. I say a robot. In terms of technical budget, it won't be yet a full-on, you know, bionic person. But
that would be great.
It would be awesome, hopefully, because we plan to take it on. This is the Bunkers' first outing. We're going to see what works and what doesn't, and then go from there with Libby's Eyes. We have big ideas for it.
Now, Amy, it sounds like audience members can expect a powerful punch throughout this play because it's not just about defective audio describing software. What are the problems of the non-disabled audience member viewing this defective society through Libby's eyes?
I really like the way you phrased that, actually. Disabled people are always watching shows through a non-disabled gaze and just expected to do it. And, you know, I'm not presenting it in an abrasive way. The AD is kind of sending up the whole inspiration porn attitude. The AD often uses the word inspirational. They think that their AD is a massive act of charity and they're not a character that anybody in the audience should want to be. As a disabled person, I haven't been perfect in terms of my attitudes to people that have impairments that aren't mine. And I don't want to see it as an attack on non-disabled audience members. But at the same time, you know, we're here too. And, you know, come and watch something through our gaze, like we watch something through yours. It can be an enjoyable experience, just like it's an enjoyable experience for us.
Amy touches on a really good point there. And Georgie, you've mentioned it before when you've been a guest on RNIB Connect Radio. But there is a real sense sometimes with audio description, with theatres and with cinemas, that they're doing people with a sight impairment a favour, the fact that they're bringing it in, rather than it being something that they just naturally make part of the experience. There's something wrong with that, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a sort of charity it's looked at, a form of charity, which me and Amy sort of desperately want to get people away from that. It should just be there. It should just be incorporated into it. And a lot of it can be really inexpensive as well. And yeah, it's getting sort of terribly boring, that attitude. It's sort of what me and Amy are striving to do with all of our work together and separate, really, is sort of bridge this gap.
It sounds absolutely fantastic, and it definitely sounds like something that listeners to RNIB Connect Radio are going to get a real kick out of. So when and where can we check out Libby's Eyes? It's coming to London in June, isn't it?
Yes, it is getting its world premiere in June. It opens on the 11th, and then it's every Monday and Thursday until the 7th of July. So it's 8 performances, 7 o'clock, and is at the Bunker Theatre, which is in Southwark. London Bridge, I believe, is the nearest tube station.
Venue is wheelchair accessible.
Yes, venue is wheelchair accessible too, which is awesome.
And if our listeners want to find out more about Libby's Eyes, or indeed about either of you two, Where can they go?
They can do a couple of things. They can go to the Bunker Theatre's website, which is bunkertheatre.com. They can follow Libby on Twitter at Libby's Eyes. They can also follow me at Georgie Pokai as well.
And me at Amy Bethan Evans, or one word.
Amy Bethan Evans and Georgie Morell, good luck with the show, or should I say break a leg. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
So much. Cheers.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio.